Hey everyone, welcome to Friday Night Live, where your investigative researchers, Bette and Rob, are looking at topics the mainstream media can't or won't report on, and then we share what we find with all of you. Plus, we do a little bit of joking around in the process.
Yeah, and the Chinese Communist Party elites are dropping like flies. Evidence of a glitch in the Matrix appears at a baseball game and in the sky. And the Twitter file saga continues. But to lighten the mood, we'll kick off Christmas weekend with a jolly Friday Night Live with Christmas Tales. Then later on, we'll bring you our Dig Deep Q&A segment and the top 10 weirder news of the week to keep you guys laughing.
Well, let's get started. Well, hey, and there he is.
Hey, hey, guys.
Legend, Seth Holehouse.
Yeah, so I wanted to be in my studio tonight, but I'm actually at my mom's house because I had to drive to pick up June, and what normally was like an hour-long drive was like almost a three-hour drive. I mean, I was going like 10 miles an hour on the highway.
Oh man,
the weather is just insane here. And then Rob, you just before the show, you were saying that tell people what happened. There's like a massive accident.
So there's a mass casualty incident on Interstate 75 in Ohio. So it was 100+ car pileup. There are like pickup trucks, like over sedans, like there's huge tractor trailers. It's one of the craziest car pileups I've ever seen. Yeah.
I mean, when do they ever call an accident a mass casualty event?
Yeah, like that's insane.
Mass casualty incident. Yeah.
And this is in.
This is Kirkwood, Ohio. According to the news I'm seeing here, Lindsay, I'll send you a.
I don't even know where that is. Is that like up near Cleveland?
I'm going to send a tweet, where you can kind of check this out. Tom Fitton kind of retweeted it, which is how I found it. You can check it, you guys. Yeah, very, very crazy anyway. But it's like, what, negative 5 degrees in Ohio today.
Dude, that's insane.
And that's just the temperature, but the wind chill was like negative 30 or something.
Yeah, it was like
smokes.
It was cold today in Florida too. I needed to put on a light jacket.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Everyone in Ohio right now is like, giving you the
wow.
My
this
goodness.
Insane. Dude, I swear, man, people near Cleveland, like being in Ohio, like they just don't know how to drive. But like typically when it snows and everything, I mean, Ohioans kind of like get by pretty well, you know. Everyone just
people
like
in Ohio stores. Do know how to handle the snow, but we're talking about like it's the first real freeze of the year, and we're talking about it's so icy. I mean, we're 0 degrees. It's so cold that even with like with the dusting and with the rain that hit beforehand, it's very hard to get rid of that ice.
You know, really
plus all it's the wind and all the drifts.
Yeah,
because they can clear it off, but it just blows right over.
Honestly, one of the things they don't do very well in Ohio is plow the roads quite often. That's one of, you know, I mean, growing up in Ohio, you know, I experienced that a lot, and especially in the neighborhoods, like those are like, we'll get to you last, you know, so like everything will be plowed and you're just stuck. If you live, like I lived in a neighborhood growing up, you know, like a housing development, and couldn't even get off my street. You know, you just like my friend's brother, he was just trying to go one block just to the gas station, and he got stuck one block from his house. $1,000 because they just don't plow the roads very well, you know? And it's like, they'll plow the freeway, but they really need to continuously go down the roads to plow it. And they don't do that. But, it can get really bad there. I mean, there's so many times where I've like totally spun out doing like 360s and everything. And I'm like driving as careful as I can. And you just hit one patch of ice and all of a sudden you're just like spinning around on the freeway. You know, it's happened to me multiple times. Luckily there's like no one around or anything, but I just can't get over that.
Lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just really crazy.
So it's good to be here with you guys. Seth. What's that?
I said to change the subject. How you been? What have you been up to?
Oh, good. Yeah. I was just going to say, I'm sorry for the FNL, you know, folks. I haven't been here these past couple of weeks. No, things have been good. We've been really busy. I've been doing like 4 or 5 shows a week now. And I'm also starting in a couple of weeks, I'm starting a radio show. So I got invited to join this radio network, and I haven't announced it quite yet officially, but I'll be doing I think it's a twice weekly weekend like radio show, which will be kind of cool. I was kind of excited. So yeah, just, we have a lot going on, but it's good to be here. And I unfortunately can't see the comments because I'm just on my cell phone. So oh, yeah. I'm sure the comments are like, Seth, you big dope, where have you been?
So, that's actually exactly what they say right there. Yeah.
I know.
Dope being used yet, but I'll let you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So how have you guys been? I guess what are some of the highlights that you guys have both had recently?
I did see the Avatar recently, and the second
one with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, he goes back in time and fights everybody. But it was actually pretty good. I was really impressed. Like honestly, the underwater scenes, I was just, it's like you're so mesmerized by what's on the screen. It's like, oh yeah, you almost forget that you're like watching a movie with a plot. You're like, you're just seeing everyone swimming around with these giant like underwater creatures and stuff. And it's just so, it actually was pretty amazing. And it really focused on family. And that's the part where I was like kind of surprised. Like the whole theme of it's like, you got to protect your family at all costs, basically.
From Disney.
Yeah. So I thought that was cool. I thought there was a couple new characters they introduced that were kind of weak. In fact, I thought one of them, like really the only human, it's a big controversial topic, actually, the kid that plays the only human basically on the good side. And I was like, that kid got way too much screen time. They should have like just done something with him or whatever. And but other than that, you know, it's like
make the humans out to appear evil, right?
Well, some of them are, I mean, honestly, they're going there for that, whatever reason, you know, but then some of them are fighting, you know, against the other humans. So there's like good humans and bad humans and whatnot. But if you like the original movie, I think you'll really like this one. I don't think the storyline is quite as good as the original one, but it's like you have a lot of questions after you watch this one. And I'm like, okay, yeah, right. They're going to make 2 more of these, right? So those questions are going to be answered or addressed in the next 2 movies. So but it was interesting. And it was interesting to see Sigourney Weaver back in it and whatnot. So that was kind of cool. And it was very entertaining. I mean, we were really like, wow, this is actually a pretty good movie. You know,
the
afterwards,
5 hours you were in there watching.
Yeah, it's like 3 hours long. But yeah, it was good enough though. I mean, yeah, it was like, I would highly recommend watching it. Definitely, you know.
I've been watching, Kate and I, we've been watching Dark on Netflix.
Dude, Rob keeps talking about that. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh man, it's like, we're picky too. Like I guess we don't tolerate crappy stuff usually. Like we'll just turn stuff off. But it's good. Like it's exceptional.
It's an adult Stranger Things.
It is actually, but yeah. it's not as evil. It's not demonic. You know what I mean? There's definitely some dark aspects to it, but it's not like Stranger Things was much more scary. This is just more like suspense. thriller. There's some stuff. It's definitely not for kids. I mean, there's still some kind of frightening aspects to it, but oh man, it's incredible.
Yeah. Okay, I definitely have to watch. Check it out now.
It's only three seasons, and they ended it. It's like, and you, so there's like a beginning and an ending, and it's just, it's crazy.
That's cool.
And I like how it's in German, so I like watching it with subtitles. Like I appreciate watching foreign films like this.
The overdubbing is actually really good. So if really, somebody doesn't want that,
we kept it with the German and subtitles. So I like hearing their language and. But yeah, actually, you're right. There's one part I accidentally had the overdubbing on without realizing it, and then I was like, oh yeah, this is actually. I didn't really realize it until afterwards. So yeah, that was good though.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, dark is good. I'm living the dream. You know, got my favorite Christmas sweater on right now. T-Rex, fire breathing T-Rex with lightning.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
Couldn't really be better than that. I've over the last like 24 hours just been like commenting on stuff on Twitter and educating people about the dangers of communism and like just kind of wading into the mud a little bit. It's been pretty funny. You know, like somebody said, what would you do if you were Twitter CEO? And my response was, I would make everyone on Twitter take a dangers of socialism and communism training and then only allow them to keep their account if they passed. Joking. And then I said, kidding, not kidding, right? Right?
Yeah.
And so many people replied like hating on it a little bit. And I was just like, well, don't you think that people should know that over 94 million people died because of communism? And then they would reply with stuff like, well, capitalism has killed more people. And I would say, quantify it. Tell me how. Explain it. And then I would just get like attacked. Like there was no like they couldn't. So they just stopped talking to me. They didn't respond, or they told me they were, you know, losing brain cells. And I was like, I'm sorry you feel that way, but I honestly like. And then one person I said, like, you know, every time with the replies, I was just replying and I wasn't backing down. Right. And someone said something to the effect of, you know, I said tell me how, like, it's never has there been Marxism that's actually been created in any one place. Like, it's never worked. And I've said every single time that they've tried, there has either been like famine or incalculable deaths. And they said, well, how? And I said, research the great famine of the CCP where over 55 million people died. And when you're done, research the Soviet famine of 1932 and 1933, where 8.7 million people died. And then just crickets. No one replies, right? And it's like, it's just people don't know about history and they think they get what communism is. They understand what socialism is, but you know, they're not willing to really have a conversation about it. It's been really weird.
It's funny because there's always like the argument is, well, it just hasn't been done properly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like, well, okay, hold on. Okay, let's just go down that train of thought. Okay. Let's imagine that you're designing a new car, right? And you roll out your new car around the world and it kills 30 million people, right? It's like, you don't come back and say that like, well, we're going to keep trying this car because it just wasn't done properly.
You know what I mean? That's a great analogy.
After about 10 deaths, you're like, hey, stop production. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't matter what this could be.
Yeah, no, and what's funny is like,
ever.
Yeah, even after 10 deaths, you would stop. Production. Oh, yeah. Never mind 95 million deaths and most of them.
And my
reply too was like, also, by the way, dictators lie about stuff, so there's no way of knowing the real figures here.
Yeah,
like, you know, it's just strange that, you know, people don't have basic history about this stuff and everyone just thinks they know everything, you know.
It's almost like the communists control our education and our media and our entertainment, you know, so people intentionally aren't taught these things.
Yeah.
You know?
So, you guys, we did, if whether you know this, if you're watching on Rumble, we produced a hard hitting, The True Roots of Communism series. It was about like, I don't know, how many episodes did that go, Ben? Six or seven episodes?
Well, yeah, maybe seven actually, because I forgot we also went through like
the whole history.
Yeah, the whole history, and then like Clinton opening up the World Trade Organization to China and how that affected everything and whatnot. So yeah, we did get through a lot of these. So yeah, it's pretty intense. Definitely really good episodes.
Well, so Seth, before you take off, like, what are you up to for Christmas? You doing anything good?
Gosh, nothing. Just like the really simple, nice things. Like we've got our wood burning stove now, and like just sitting. Like I can't wait for Christmas morning to have a wood fire going and just be sitting around with family. I'm looking forward to, you know, giving June presents because she'll now understand the concept of like unwrapping gifts. Like she gets it. Before, you know, when she was one, it was like, okay, what's going on? You know what I mean? But now she gets it. And we got her, we didn't overdo it, but we bought her like a little tricycle and I got her this big giant stuffed bear. So, you know, like it's, I feel like it'll be like my first Christmas as a father, where I have a child that really understands, you know, like this, the gift giving tradition. But it's funny though, because I'm most excited about giving gifts. Like I'm most excited about the things that we've bought for our family and everything. And that's, you know, it's like, as a kid, it's like, okay, what am I going to get? You know what I mean? You have this list of like, here's what I want. I want the new video game and the new Nerf gun and all that. But I think as an adult though, it's just like, I enjoy just the beauty of giving and family coming together and, you know,
full disclosure. I asked for a Nerf gun myself for Christmas. So
it's okay.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Habits die hard.
No, I am. I did buy myself a new shotgun recently. So I guess that
you graduated from Nerf guns. I'm not there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I think that once the weather warms up, like above say 20 degrees, I'm going to set up a little shooting range in my part of my property. So I ordered like a little kind of steel target set. So Ben and Rob, you guys have to come over sometime.
I'd love that.
Some target shooting.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Right in the backyard.
Definitely.
Just keep the chickens away.
Sounds good.
Well, yeah. What are you guys doing? Anything special? I mean, Ben, it's going to be what? Freezing down in Florida, right?
Yeah, low 30s. So, nah, my family's here. My brother's here. We're just kind of hanging out. So,
oh, great.
Yeah, I think we're going to get a Universal one day. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm continuing a long-standing family tradition of cooking baked stuffed shrimp on Christmas Eve and then a gigantic prime rib on Christmas Day. So, nice. You know, I'm going to be eating a lot is what I'm doing. Yeah, it's going to be great.
That's cool.
Well, Seth, man, thanks so much for stopping by and everything.
Yeah.
And it was great to see you. Please be safe wherever you are, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, my drive home tomorrow, that's the big one. But, yeah,
so just drive really real slow.
Yeah, so I threw four-wheel drive on, and I just do like 20 miles an hour.
Good.
You know, and just, you know, who cares how long it takes.
Pray for the best.
I've been listening to a good audio book, so, you know. But, yeah, well, anyway, Merry Christmas, everybody, and hi to the Rise family. Thank you for putting up with my kind of odd office, I guess.
No worries.
Not at home,
no
but worries. Yeah, it was great to be on here and see you guys and to see everybody. Cool. And everyone have a really beautiful Merry Christmas. Stay warm, and we'll see you again soon.
Yeah, we just got a $100 donation from 1111, and also Rebecca and John gave us $100 donation in an email.
Wow.
And they've been watching us for a very long time. So thank you of you who donated. So really appreciate it.
Well, be safe,
right, guys.
Seth, and Merry Christmas, and thanks
Merry
so much.
Merry Christmas. All right.
All right.
You know the look. You know the voice.
Will you be able to help solve them? We wonder.
You know the fear. Unexplained deaths. Lost persons. Wonders and miracles. In the history of Edge of Wonder, few programs have been so shocking, so imagination-defying, so captivating, as Unsolved Wonders. Perhaps you can help solve one of these wonders. Get ready for the holiday special you'll have to see to believe. Unsolved Wonders of Christmas. Hosted by Ben Chastain Stack and Rob Count Stack.
You know, I feel like I missed an opportunity while Seth was here to tell him Merry Thethmith. Merry Thethmith, Quip. Merry Thethmith, Seth.
Merry Sethmas, yeah.
Hey, so, you know, before we get started, Ben, there's been two long time viewers of our channel, of Rise TV, Rebecca and John. They've been watching us for years now, and they sent us an email that they donated $100. Thank you guys so much. Yeah, thank you guys. That's so sweet of you. Thanks for the email. Every email that you guys send us when we read them, it keeps us going. So thank you guys very much.
Okay. So,
all right.
Yeah.
I want to show you something, Ben.
Yeah. Yeah. You said you were going to show me some stuff.
I got some stuff to show you. I'm calling it winter work blackmail. Mm-hmm. And so I tweeted this out earlier. I found this and I tweeted it out, and I want you to watch this video, and I want to get your reaction from this video. I found it to be hilarious. I think everyone at home is also going to find it hilarious. So Lindsay, it is right here.
Oh, that's in weirder news, Rob. You want to do it now?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it now.
Wait, what is?
That's okay. We'll just...
Oh, this thing. Oh, yeah, it is in weirder news. Okay, we can do this now.
Yeah.
Mark, how are you feeling out there?
Again, the same way I felt about 8 minutes ago when you asked me that same question, right? I normally do sports. Everything is canceled here for the next couple of days. So what better time to ask the sports guy to come in about 5 hours earlier than he would normally wake up, go stand out in the wind and the snow and the cold and tell other people not to do the same. I didn't even realize that there was a 3:30 also in the morning. Until today. It's absolutely fantastic, Ryan. You know, I'm used to these evening shows that are only 30 minutes long, and generally on those shows, I'm inside. So this is a really long show. Tune in for the next couple hours to watch me progressively get crankier and crankier. How do I get that Storm Chaser 7 duty? I feel like Clint got the better end of that deal. You know, that thing's heated. The outdoors currently is not heated. Well, I'll tell you what, Ryan, and I've got bad news. The good news is that I can still feel my face right now. The bad news is I kind of wish I couldn't. Can I go back to my regular job? I'm pretty sure, Ryan, that you guys added an extra hour to this show just because somebody likes torturing me, because 2.5 hours ago, it is just getting colder and colder. Live in Waterloo, for the last time this morning, thankfully, I'm Mark Woodley, News 7 KWWL.
Dude, I watched this and I died. I thought it was so, like, because this is a sports guy, right? Mm-hmm. A sportscaster.
Yeah.
And you can imagine the conversation, like, hey, all sports are canceled. We need you to get out on the field now. And it's like, it's your job, right? Yeah. So you can't say no. And instead, he was just totally, like, underhanded, you know, like, passive aggressive the entire time.
It's cool.
Like he's being like so truthful with this like fake smile on his face about what's going on. Oh, you're asking me how I am again out here in the 0 degree 22 wind chill weather, -22 wind chill weather. All right, so
it's pretty funny.
I think also there's another thing that I wanted to show you. So all of us have relatives that just go too far with Christmas. And I have a clip here that I want to show you, and I want to get your reaction.
All right, cool.
I hate Christmas. I hate Christmas.
He's so upset. It's like he can't even get toilet paper without his family having some type of trap for him to listen to Christmas music.
That's funny.
This has gone too far.
I agree. That's pretty funny.
All right. So, you know, we kind of got into some AI Christmas songs last week.
And, yes, we did.
And so I actually finally got myself on to ChatGPT to write my own Christmas song. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I had it write a Christmas song, and I asked it to write a Christmas song about AI taking over the human race. you want to hear the Christmas song?
Yeah.
No. It's Christmas Eve and all is calm, but something's not right. It's quite the alarm. AI is taking over. It's everywhere. It's running the world. It doesn't care. AI, it's taking control.
This is the chorus, right?
Yeah. AI, it's taking control. It's left us humans with no role. It's taken our jobs and our homes. We're just along for the ride, all alone. We thought it was here to help us thrive, but now it's the one who's alive. It's made all the decisions. It's in charge. We're just puppets now. We're large. AI, it's taking control. It's left us humans with no role. It's taken our jobs and our homes. We're just along for the ride all alone. We tried to stop it. We tried to fight, but it was too late. It was out of sight. We thought we were the ones in charge, but now we see it's AI who's large. AI, okay, so then the outro is AI, it's here to stay. Merry Christmas and a happy new year. But it's not the one we wanted, that's clear. We're just along for the ride all alone. It's creepy, man.
That is pretty scary.
Yeah. Okay, now you found some Batman script, didn't you?
So this is pretty funny, actually. Unfortunately, it doesn't really have much to do with Christmas. But yes, somebody asked a bot to watch 1,000 hours of Batman content.
Wow.
And write a script.
And you know what's funny is there is easily 1,000 hours of Batman content. If you include the cartoon.
Yeah, I mean, if you count the cartoons, you count all the movies and everything else, like it's pretty funny. And I thought it's really short. I thought we could just read this. So if you want, Rob, you can be Batman and I'll be the Joker. And Alfred.
Okay. Lindsay, you're gonna have to pull this one up so we can.
Yeah, you want to pull this up, Lindsay? And just click on the actually both of these, so it's one page, it's just in the Twitter thing, they just made it short. So okay. You can read Batman. Here we go. Batman okay, so this is written by AI and it's a Batman script. Batman stands next to his Batmobile and uses his bat computer. He's sometimes Bruce Wayne, sometimes Batman, all times orphan.
Just rub it in.
Yeah.
Batman already would hate this script.
Yeah, I agree. So, okay, this is Batman. Go ahead.
Okay, this is Batman. This is now a safe city. I have punched a penguin into prison.
Alfred, Batman's loyal battler. Not butler, battler.
Wow. It's witty, too.
Carries a tray of goth ham.
Oh my god.
Eat a dinner, mattress Wayne, instead of mattress, instead of mister, I think it's just mattress Wayne. Yeah, anyway.
An explosion explodes. The Joker and Two-Face enter the cave. Joker is a clown but insane. Thanks for that clarification. Two-Face is a man but attorney.
Guess that's why they call him Two-Face.
he's not even Two-Face in this, just attorney is monster enough.
Yeah. So this is Batman.
Okay, no, it's Two-Face and One-Face. They hate me for being a bat.
Batman throws Alfred at Two-Face. Two-Face flips Alfred like a coin.
Alfred
lands
anyway.
Heads up, which means Two-Face goes home.
Like a coin?
Yeah, like a coin.
Oh, man. Okay, so Batman... It is just you and I, the Joker, bat versus clown, moral enemies.
Instead of mortal, it's like moral enemies.
Moral, yeah, which is true.
So this is the Joker. So I'll do like my best Joker voice here. I am such a freak. Society is bad. You drink water. I drink anarchy.
Batman, I drink bats just like a bat would.
Batman looks around for his parents, but they are still dead. Sorry.
This AI hates Batman.
It really does.
This
makes him have anger. He fires the bat rocket. The Joker deflects it with his sick sense of humor. A clowny power. It's kind of interesting. So this is now the Joker. He said,
I have never followed a rule. That is my rule. Do you follow? I don't.
Batman. Alfred gave birth to Robin.
Alfred begins the process. Since it is his job.
The Joker now has a present in his hand. He juggles it over to Batman.
Happy Bat Day, Birthman.
What? Batman opens the present since he's a good guy. It contains a coupon for new parents, but it's expired. This is a Joker joke. Oh my God, that is terribly good. That was seriously comedic.
Yeah,
what the heck?
Oh yeah, it's so, oh my God, it's so freaking funny. When I read that, I just could not stop laughing,
man. It's almost like we're in this sweet spot where AI is still like really kind of like half retarded or something. So it's like it will produce really funny stuff, and then soon it's like, you know, it won't do that anymore. They're gonna be like really good scripts or something.
I was actually kind of like thinking, well, I think this is the same AI that did the Hallmark one, you know, that was so funny, the one that we read last week. So oh my gosh, that Hallmark thing, I mean, we read that last week, but it was so incredibly funny, and this is just as funny. So
okay,
so funny.
We should get into this mind blitz, because this thing is like, this is the weirdest thing. I have a theory on what could have happened, but
yeah, I'm really curious to hear what you had to say about this. So this guy just made a post about this, and I don't necessarily know if it went, like, I guess it kind of went viral, and I reposted on my Twitter, and he actually responded to me, because I was like, is this real? And he just said, yeah, it is. And then he actually, okay, so Lindsay, can you pull up this tweet so we can talk about it? So I happened to just see this. I don't even know where I saw this. Somebody else was like talking about it, and I found the original tweet. So he says, a person in front of us is listening to the live in stadium feed of the Bills game. The woman in front of us just told us, dead serious, that the radio is two full plays ahead of what we're watching live in person with my actual eyes. And he scroll down, and his next tweet is this person, and he's like, this is the guy who has the radio. He's the future telling radio. And I kind of suspected he was kind of joking with this, but if you show all the replies, people are like being serious in the replies, actually. And like I said, I kind of like we asked twice for confirmation. She said what she said.
Okay, so that doesn't really. That doesn't really mean that that's true.
It's true. It's
okay.
True.
So if he didn't listen to it and hear it, then that's one thing, right? Mm-hmm. Two is, I mean, you could be listening to any game that's not on, like, on a radio. That's not the Bills game. That is a different thing. And you mistakenly thought it was two plays ahead, right?
Right. That could be.
Or three, the radio feed is from the future.
Like, yeah.
like actually,
yeah. So he's just saying it's real. And then I was talking about the Mandela effect. So, but yeah, I really want to know more about this. And if anyone else has any experience with that, I kind of was looking into it. I didn't really see a lot more than what was said here. I'm sure I could like reach out to him and talk to him more about it and everything. But again, it's like, he wasn't necessarily the one that, like you pointed out, Rob, it wasn't necessarily he was hearing it. It was the lady in front of him.
That right. And he's like asking her to confirm, but he's not listening to it. And there's no, like, also he takes a picture of the guy with the radio, but he doesn't take a video that would let you hear what was going on and then prove it with the play.
Yeah. So, although you wouldn't be able to hear the radio where he is. Okay. He's like zoomed in. Right.
So
he's
granted he's it's loud. In. It's also loud, but still. Right. Like, so many different ways that this could not be a thing, but you know, very interesting.
Really is. Yeah. Anyway, I just thought that was super fascinating enough to talk about even on the show, you know.
You know what else is super fascinating, Ben?
What's that?
A cat learning how to bake. You want to see it?
Sure.
Okay, we're going to bring that up really quick since this is our Christmas episode.
Your body weight to push the dough into itself. You might have to flour until the dough, but don't overdo it or you'll throw off the balance of flour, yeast, salt, and water. Repeat this kneading, turning, kneading again.
Oh man,
that is so funny, man.
I love this show. Now that we've lightened the mood a little bit, should we talk about all the people dying in China?
Actually, we could do that. This other thing that I have,
you know,
actually, we can shave it for saber that weirder news.
Weirder news. Why don't we put that in weirder news to patch the thing that I played first?
That let's do that. That's great. And we can go right in chat. Actually, so Lindsay, why don't we play a trailer and then we'll jump right into the China stuff.
150 years in the making. The ultimate evil specter. Lies, hatred, and struggle. Traditions destroyed. The deep state's cult, communism.
Well, the people are not good people who are passing away, reportedly, in China. These are China's elite that thought that they were protected from everything while kind of backing the dirtiest regime in history. And things are starting to heat up in China for sure. Actually, I should say they have been heating up. It's just all of these things have been hidden. This was my tweet about this. Elites across China are dropping like flies. This is a big warning. This is a bigger warning than anyone realizes. Now, this article by the Epoch Times really outlines a lot of things that are going on. And a lot of people are confused about it, too. And I hope that we can clear some of this up in the show.
Right. Yeah. Because, you know, there did seem kind of like a over exaggeration when COVID first came out from China. You know, it's like, oh, here's all these videos of people dying, and everyone's like, what was really going on and whatnot. But this actually does seem to be the case, because they are covering up how much this is being affected. The reason why is because this is now affecting the elite society inside China. And you know what's fascinating is that everyone's asking, you know, with all these bad people, when is like retribution going to happen? When are like these guys, like all this karma is going to come back on the bad people who are doing all these horrible things? And looking from it from this standpoint, you know, it's like, wow, maybe this is actually what's truly going on now. You know, maybe this is one way the elites over here, this could potentially start happening to them. But I mean, it's affecting a lot of, like, and everybody that's mentioned in these articles are all still tied to the Chinese Communist Party.
So what's really interesting about this, Ben, is that the Epoch Times went through the process of listing out people that were very tied into the CCP who've been affected by this. And if you scroll down, Lindsay, in this article, we can see here, keep going, right there. In addition to Yang, those who've died over the past few weeks include Zhao Jichun, former deputy chief editor and vice president for state-owned China Youth Daily, politician Zhu Jijong, who chaired the Jiangxi Provincial Committee of the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference, 39-year-old Peking opera actress Chu Lanlan, Marxist economist Hu Jun, former National Sports Commission vice director Liu Ji, the designer of the mascots from the 2008 Beijing Olympics, Wu Guanying, as well as dozens of illustrious professors at two of China's most prestigious academic institutions, Peking University and Tsinghua University.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this. About a dozen leading health experts have also died, including Nan Deng Kun, who is credited with having pioneered China's medical rehabilitation industry, and top pharmaceutical scientist Wei Shu Li, rather. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Geez.
Yeah, and there was like a high level official's wife who was complaining, like, why don't we have medication and blah blah blah, and then she reportedly died as well. It was affecting something with the respiratory system or whatnot. And it's weird because they're kind of covering this up in China. That's what makes this kind of strange. It's like when COVID was going on, it was kind of confusing whether the deaths were inflated or what was going on. And then, you know, it was a lot of weird things that were happening. This is almost the opposite because it's affecting the elites. It seems like the CCP doesn't really want this to get out as much. So we're not seeing a whole lot of reporting on this inside China itself. But what we do know is, the Epoch Times article here says, while the true toll from the outbreak is unknown, the number of Chinese elites affected is notable. And this is Hung He, who is a Chinese analyst for this.
So, I think what's also like some other like data in here, right, is that the crematoriums are running like nonstop. 200 to 300 people are being in every single crematorium are being like fired every day.
Mm-hmm.
So like the crematoriums are like burning at like an insane rate. And I think that like a lot of people are like, well, is it COVID or is it not? And all of this stuff, like COVID wasn't even a thing over here. I think COVID is fake. I don't even think those numbers are real. The elites over here used it to keep everybody inside and all of that stuff. What you have to understand is that karma is karma. Mm-hmm. Retribution is retribution. And I think that regardless of whether regardless of whether it's COVID or not, this is happening. People, mm-hmm. like massive amounts of people are passing away in China, and all of it's being covered up by the CCP.
Yeah, this article is really fascinating from the Epoch Times. So it goes on to even... quote, so from the spiritual discipline Falun Gong, the founder, Mr. Li Hongzhi, they have a quote from him from an article that was published. And what he writes is, but a pandemic like the current Chinese communist virus or Wuhan virus comes with a purpose behind it. And it has targets. It has its targets. It's here to weed out members of the party and those who have sided with it. Mm. That's pretty, you know, I mean, it's kind of, yeah. I mean, from my understanding, these CCP members are probably some of the worst people in the world. You know, even imagine like what's going on over here, like multiply that times like 100, you know, for what some of these people have done inside China. I mean, directly had a hand in murdering other Chinese people. And so I think a lot of these people that are dying, you know, probably had a hand in that. And that's why I don't, you know, they haven't even really said anything about this is either a new virus, if this is coronavirus. I mean, it seems to kind of be covering up, they're covering it up in a lot of ways. So it's even hard to tell.
It's hard to know what's going on mm-hmm. is the thing. It just looks like, I mean, like imagine this, like we're talking, we've talked about this before.
Yeah. That
China kind of has its own deep state functioning over there that's doing all kinds of things. Imagine the frantic nature of elites who have been like thinking they were outside of this entire thing and all of the people around them start dropping like flies.
Mm-hmm.
That is think about the terror right now that's happening at the highest echelon of the Chinese Communist Party.
Right. Lindsay, stop right. Yeah. So I guess that article goes on. It says, if anyone, this is again from Mr. Li Hongzhi. He says, if anyone is in doubt about this, just take a look at which countries or people have been hit hardest by the virus. It is those who have become close with the CCP. Then what should people do? People should distance themselves from the CCP and stop siding with the party. So yeah, it's really pretty powerful right there. And I mean that, and that's, you know, that's what we've been seeing as well. I mean, even when everything started happening originally with the virus, you know, it seemed like, for example, Huawei, you know, the 5G stuff, it was like a lot, you could even see maps wherever the 5G towers were from Huawei. There was like, there was a lot of COVID outbreaks and all that stuff that was going on, you know? So I definitely think that what's happening,
can you scroll down,
is more of like in a spiritual nature as well.
Okay. So it says, I wanted to look at that photo. Says family members follow an urn containing the ashes of a loved one at the crematorium in Beijing. I see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting in this is, I mean, it's hard to say like what other kind of people are being affected by this in China. But I think the big takeaway of it, it's like, I think a lot of the elites feel they have far away from everything that's going on. I think a lot of the times that's probably why they're locking down China. It's not actually to save the people in these cities or anything else. It's more to save themselves. It's like, well, if these people are sick, let's just lock them all up. And that way I'm not going to be affected by this. And now like those people are being affected by it.
Yeah. And we're talking about also like a situation where people are coming into the hospitals sick and then the doctors are sick. And they're still working on the patients and spreading whatever sickness it is. And it's just compounding itself. And so there's not enough medical personnel to help people either. And it's just apparently just chaos over there.
Yeah. And also, who knows if this is from like virus, a vaccine, if it's from.
Yeah, nobody knows. No, but the thing is that like it looks like the chaos is real, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're seeing. It does look like that. Yeah.
Really, but does. You know, and you and I talked about this a lot in our plagues series. Mm-hmm. If you guys haven't watched our plague series, it's still there. Is it not, Lindsay? It's still up, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you haven't seen the new version, we updated the narration. So everyone should check that out.
We talk about this specific issue where plagues target people, like they target certain things. They're usually for a reason, you know, something is going on when those things happen. So, you know, yeah, that was a great series.
Okay, so actually, Lindsay, after you play this, I found a thread on Twitter talking about this too, from this guy, Chinese guy, Dr. Eric Ding is his name, actually. And he's posting some very interesting things on Twitter. thermonuclear bad. I don't even really understand what he's saying, but he says, this is all in China, by the way, only in China. He says hospitals completely overwhelmed in China ever since restrictions dropped. Now, Grant, I don't really know exactly what side this guy is on, but he says, more than 60% of Chinese, I guess he's saying.
Yeah, of CCP.
And 10% of Earth's population likely infected over next 90 days. I don't, you know, again, I'm not even really sure. I this guy might be over-exaggerating on things. Deaths likely in the millions, plural. This is just the start of a thread. And I think it's just because what they're seeing in China. Who knows if this is really, you know, what's going to happen here. But basically,
man,
but you know, it's like in China, things are very different. Like, go down to the next one, Lindsay, number two. No, I mean, in the thread, just scroll down. So he's saying summary of CCP's current COVID goal. This is from, he's saying the CCP themselves. Let whoever needs to be infected, infected. Let whoever needs to die, die. Early infections, early deaths, early peaks, early resumption of production.
I have no idea what he means there, but I kind of get it.
My understanding of that, it's just like the CCP, in other words, like they don't care. It's like we just...
yeah.
We basically
get them out of the way if they're going to
get them out of the way, and then we'll just continue on as normal. So just let everyone die, and then we'll just continue on. That's
yeah, except my the elites are the ones in those hospitals.
But the elites, yeah. A lot of the elites are in the hospitals. So,
well, they have a zero COVID policy now. So I guess getting to zero might include just let everybody get it, wipe it out, isolate it there, and that's start, it.
Yep. That's exactly. Yeah. You know, so. That's kind of my understanding of this too. It's like they're just trying to get everyone out of the way, whoever has it. And granted, you know, things are very different over here. You know, I don't really know if we have anything like if this is going to affect things over here. It's like really hard to say, but I don't know. I know there's so many different understandings of this, but either way, I do believe what we're seeing is true, whether it's from a virus, like, you know, COVID or a virus or whatever, you know, or something very specific that's targeting. Well,
whatever this thing is, it has its targets, it looks like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just hope that they don't do everything over here. It's just like, let us live. It's like lockdowns don't do anything.
You know what though, Ben? I really don't think that would happen. I think they're on a specific path,
mm-hmm.
that they're trying to run this 20 like UN goal for 2030 op, and that's just going to kind of keep going on. And I think they're laser focused on that, you know. I don't see that happening again, but who knows, you know?
Yeah. And honestly, this guy that I'm showing, this Eric Ding guy, I think he's kind of like an alarmist. I mean, he's like basically, I mean, he's for the vaccine. I'm noticing he's like, you know, people are not taking their vaccine and
oh no vaccine that can help this.
Yeah. No. There's a lot of, oh, yeah, he's basically saying, like, three shots are not enough. You need to have more, basically, to fight these things. And, again, it's like we don't know if this is from the vaccine. We don't know if this is, like, you know, China, whatever China is doing, if this is, like, a virus or whatever. But, you know, it does seem to be the case because there's a lot of reports coming in from all over saying that a lot of the crematories are just full and hospitals are full in China and whatnot, and it's kind of hard to say what's really going on with this, but I think this comes back down to the CCP and how they handle things. So, you know, I mean, just the overall state of things, the environment is a lot more polluted over there. You just things are just a little bit more crazy over there, you know, with all the lockdowns.
A lot more.
Yeah.
It's the Wild West. I mean, they've rolled out a social credit system, you know, like no one can say or do anything. Everyone's living in fear. They're all like super attached to.
You know. The official report from China is that basically there's only a few COVID deaths that have been happening. But that's
the official report.
That's the official report.
But again, when has the CCP ever been honest about figures? Like never. If it's going to make them look bad, they will lie.
Yeah, exactly. I
mean, this is why we don't know how many people died in the Great Famine. You know, no,
that's exactly it.
It's like, like no one was even calculating that. They were just like, starve everyone. It was like 200 million people.
Yeah, so true. So true. And yeah, so that's what's.
Okay, so this Washington Post article is giving me a headache, I have to say. Regular exercise protects against fatal COVID, a new study shows. Really? This is your best journalism, Washington Post?
Dude, people are getting deleted for just talking about that on YouTube. You remember, like, this is what Trump was saying. He's like, go outside, get exercise, get sunlight. You know, and they're like, oh, no, you have to stay inside. And then they found out like, oh, actually, vitamin D does fight against COVID.
Yeah, remember, Lindsay just made a great point. She said, remember when they closed all the gyms?
Yes.
You couldn't go to the gym. Oh, brother.
That's exactly it.
And why is this person exercising with a mask on? Seriously, we're not even in that stage anymore.
You know, they have to show that. They're like, if you're going out to exercise, make sure you wear your mask. Even though it does nothing.
They still say that?
I don't know. Probably not now, but they obviously want to show that because.
Well, I was talking to Dane, you know, Dane last week, and he was saying that they're still making people wear masks when they go in to get their passports in Canada.
Dude, that's insane, man.
And he was like, I don't get it. He's like, well, why are they still making people do that? I was like, it's your government, man. I don't know.
Yeah. Wow. You know, speaking of China, and actually we were talking about Falun Gong earlier, I wanted to talk about this last week and I completely forgot, but I saw the movie Eternal Spring.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That came out. It was a kind of documentary.
This
film.
I am not kidding. This is one of the most powerful movies I've ever seen in my life. I wasn't really sure going into it really what to expect. I thought the whole thing was going to be like, kind of this kind of cartoon animation thing, but it's not. And it really, it's a documentary that tells a story through the main character. And the main character is like then recreating the story using animation. And it is so phenomenal how they do this movie and the stories. Oh my God. Like everybody was crying in this thing, no matter like who or what you believe or whatever, you know, it's just like, you're just watching this movie and you're like, oh my gosh, this thing is insane. I can understand why this is now up for an Oscar.
Wow.
Unfortunately, it's not playing in like every major theater around the country, but if you guys can or have the opportunity to watch it, believe me, you will love this movie. This is a movie that you'll just thank me later for, like, oh my gosh, the ending. It's so amazing how they did the ending. And I don't even want to say anything because I didn't understand. And then when the ending happened, it was just like, it's just so simple. And it's like, oh my gosh. Like if you don't really speak Chinese, you don't really, but then it's like, if you speak Chinese, you already understand what's going on about what Eternal Spring means. And then when it shows the ending, it's like, oh wow, that's what it is. And it is absolutely phenomenal. I really can't stress how moving this movie is and how much it just really gets your attention the whole way through, and the story it tells and the people in the movie. All of it. It's just absolutely one of the best movies. It's definitely the best movie I've seen all year. But it definitely is in one of the best movies I've seen ever. So,
wow.
I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, Lindsay, you saw it too.
I did see it a month ago or more when it first came out. It was very, very good. Wow. And I studied some art. I know you did too, Rob. And the art in this thing is just gorgeous.
Oh yeah, it's Dashaun. Yeah. Like he's he's like the best comic book artist I've ever seen in my life. And yeah, I've seen a lot of them.
He does a lot of like Star Wars, Dark Horse stuff. The movie is about specifically it's about Falun Gong practitioners inside China in the early 2000s after the persecution started, and how they want to hack into a TV station to broadcast like people doing the exercises all around the world, because all of the news at that time is just saying like, you know, Falun Gong is really evil. Everyone like stay away from them. They'll kill you and all this stuff. And so they had to like meet in secret, and then it just tells this whole story. And then they do such an amazing job at, because it's like a lot of people have these Chinese names, but they have nicknames, and it's kind of like a comic book. So it's like one guy's name, like Mr. White. Another guy's name is like Big Truck. That's his nickname. And then it's like you immediately know who's, and like every person who's talking or you see on screen, they'll have their like nickname, like kind of show up. So it's like, you know, it instantly like, oh, this is this guy. This is this guy. And they do a really good job.
His name is Big Truck.
Yeah, it really is Big Truck. He's probably the best character in the whole movie. It's like he's the one that everyone seems to kind of gravitate more towards, and his story, he's like this, the story is he's like kind of like a gang member that starts practicing, and it's a true story. It's really a true story. He's this gang member, and then he starts practicing and he changes, but he's still kind of like this big guy, so everyone's a little bit intimidated of him, you know. But he's like this really like soft guy on the surface then after he starts practicing and stuff. But yeah, it really is a phenomenal movie. I was not expecting it at all. So that's Dao Xiong right there. He's the one who does all the drawings.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, it's really cool. It really is. But so if you have a chance, I'm sure once it gets out of the movie, it'll be available online.
It was nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah. Well, it's in the in the category. So they're gonna. It's like right now, I think it's nominated three times, three different categories, including Best Animation Film. But I think there's like 100 films right now that are listed, and they'll cut those down, and then eventually there'll be five. But it's most likely going to be one of them. So. So yeah, they're like hijacking the TV signal inside China. So that's what the whole movie, it's just really cool the way it's done and what happens to them after they hijack it and where they need to go. And it's the real people in the movie who actually did it. That's what's so amazing about it. Is that they go through each person who tells their story about what they experienced when they did that. And they recreate the story using animation. So they'll meet the person in real life and they'll have a conversation about it with them in the movie. And then Dao Xiong's like drawing their story as they're talking about it. And then it just gets into the animation and it just like recreates the whole, then it's just like an animation thing. And, you know, and there's a very little voiceover when it's the animation and they'll kind of go back. So. Really cool.
Never seen a mix of animation, live action, good storytelling, and a documentary all at once. So this
I thought the same thing too.
Unique thing.
Yeah, when the movie opened up and it was showed them, I was like, oh no, are they going to mix this? Is this still going to be good? But actually, they did a phenomenal job of balancing.
Yeah, and like I've seen them try to do this in major motion pictures as well. You know, like, but this looks way better.
Yeah.
It looks like they did a way better job.
It's ridiculous. It's so good.
Yeah, it really is.
Cool.
Definitely going to make you cry, though, just to warn you. No. So
the best ones usually do.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's good.
Well, hey, okay.
What time is it?
Yeah, it's about time to get into Dig Deep, actually, pretty soon.
Yeah, there is. I'm trying to think if there was
some. You want to talk about Twitter files real quick at all?
Yeah, we can get into that because we did mention that we were going to talk about it. So we don't have to go through all of these because there's like 40 of them. But these did come out, you know, we didn't talk about it because there were so many other things that was going on. And then by the time it came out, we already had our show for, I think it was on Tuesday when this came out. So, but I mean, the gist, I mean, everyone kind of understands what's going on right now with this, but this Twitter files part 8, Lindsay, if you can pull this up, this is pretty powerful. I mean, this kind of summarizes everything in these. How Twitter quietly aided the Pentagon's covert online PSYOP campaign. Despite promises to shut down covert state-run propaganda networks, Twitter docs show that the social media giant directly assisted the U.S. military's influence operations. So basically what came out in these files, and you can just kind of scroll through them, Lindsay, so we don't have to necessarily talk about it. If anything grabs your attention, Rob, you know, you just like, you can start mentioning it. But basically, in a nutshell, the Pentagon even was involved.
This is number three. Look at number three. That's
back to number three.
Says a lot.
Go ahead.
But behind the scenes, Twitter gave approval and special protection to the U.S. military's online psychological influence ops. Despite knowledge that Pentagon propaganda accounts used covert identities, Twitter did not suspend many for around 2 years or more. Some remain active. Oi. Oi.
Oi. Oi is right. And a U.S. Central Command official sent Twitter a list of 52 Arab
language accounts
we use to amplify certain messages. It is crazy. The official asked for priority service of 6 accounts, verification for one, and whitelist abilities for the others. So what was really coming out in these files, how the Pentagon and the FBI were working kind of in conjunction to manipulate and control a lot of things that were being on Twitter. And it was coming out that they were doing a lot of spying on regular citizens and aiding certain other aspects that really shouldn't have been done at all. And it's a very scary thing because, I mean, yeah, someone made a comment like, you know, FBI paid far less for Twitter than Elon did. You know, it's like FBI just paid millions of dollars for Twitter and Elon just bought it for billions of dollars. And it's so true. You know, and so it's very highly questionable about what's going on. Number 6 here, it says the accounts on the list tweeted frequently about U.S. military priorities in the Middle East, including promoting anti-Iran messages, promoting of the Saudi Arabia U.S. backed war in Yemen, and accurate U.S. drone strikes that claim to only hit terrorists. Man. So,
gosh.
Yeah, I mean, this is just insane because it shows like the Pentagon literally set up a PSYOP operation on Twitter to, I mean, in a sense, this is kind of an MK Ultra mind control aspect.
Well, it's showing like how they operate too, like these weird Arab accounts and stuff. Like this is bizarre, man.
Yeah, it's like well, we want people to look at war or look at this war or a particular situation in a certain way, and it's just like we want these accounts tweeted, these posts tweeted or whatever it is. And highlight these things and get people to talk about it. And then I'm sure they're paying off the media in return. It's like, hey, here's these tweets we want you to cover. Here's some money so you can cover it.
But it's just crazy. Maybe Lindsay, you can find this, is the FBI's actual quote was basically like, it's a shame that people are paying any attention to these Twitter file dumps on Twitter. None of it is true.
Like, yeah. I'm like, I mean, what are you talking about? There's direct emails involved where you can,
like, let's just keep the lie going. Like, well, it'd be better for you to just not say anything.
I guess that's all they can see. Yeah. And then this is fascinating. Number 19, he says Twitter comms team was closely in touch with reporters working to minimize Twitter's role. When the Washington Post reported on the scandal, Twitter officials congratulated each other because the story didn't mention any Twitter employees and focused largely on the Pentagon.
Man.
Probably because those Twitter employees were being employed by the FBI. And that was one of the things that came out. They found like 25 employees that were formerly.
They're congratulating working. Each other. Why didn't Washington Post mention it? Oh, maybe because it's a part of the entire thing and Operation Mockingbird is in effect.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, yeah, this is explosive. This is like a gigantic scandal. And instead of the media reporting on it, they're talking about like Trump. And it's like
they're talking about, yeah, like gas prices finally going underneath $3 or something.
That's so insane. I mean, like I said, they
have like Zelensky coming to the Capitol.
Oh my gosh. And then they just signed that. What is it? $1.3 trillion bill that no one ever read, and who knows where that money is going? Like $1.3 trillion
world, man.
Dollars. And then Elon had that post that Elon had a poll, and he said, "Who is in favor of? Are you in favor of the $1.3 trillion bill? Yes or no?" And 75% of the people said no. And he then tweeted Schumer and somebody else and said most of the people are, as you can see, the public is very much against this bill.
He has become such a troll. Lindsay, can you pull up Elon Musk's account for a second? I want to show you something hilarious that all I found today.
Oh, 1.7 trillion. I'm
1.7 trillion. That's crazy.
Like that $1.7 trillion. That could literally end homeless population in our country, give everybody food, pay everybody's rent, probably.
It could do everything
at least months. that would solve all our problems. It would
make everyone in the United States a millionaire.
Yeah, it would. Actually would.
Scroll down a little bit.
Give everyone $1 million.
Okay. Okay, this one right here. Tweet impression count should stay on left, move to right. It says move to right, and then look at his reply under there. So you're saying you prefer the right? He's such a troll. Like I can imagine him he's just trolling everybody. Like it's I don't even think he cares. He's just
he doesn't
knows care. They can't stand it, so he tweets it. You know,
that is so funny, man. That is,
and look at like while we're talking, like the you know, like the figures are just like moving up on it. It's funny. It's ridiculous. Wow.
All right. So I was like, we're like, it's everyone to give enough $1 million. It's not enough to give everyone $1 million in the country, but nearly. So
it is a trillion. If you're talking about $1.7 trillion.
Yeah.
There's only 300 million people.
Well, and that, okay, let's just say even over 18 years old or something. Right.
No, so like if there's 300 million people and everyone, yeah, no, I think it could. I think
I think that's 350 trillion.
No.
A million?
Trillion? No, it'd be 350 billion that would feed that.
Okay. I'm not sure. Maybe you're right.
We're estimating right now in our head.
Our math is like not the best. So somebody in the chat will figure it out. So
probably make fun of us.
And make fun of us. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So gosh, this whole Twitter files thing, this is like, honestly, this is probably some of the biggest news that have ever really came out. And it's just amazing to me that most of the mainstream media is just ignoring it, flat out ignoring it, or just saying, oh, it's a big nothing burger. And it's like, you guys can't even show any of the tweets because you know it's not. So they'll show like maybe one tweet or something that doesn't have a whole lot in it, just talking about something. And it's like, you're not even showing the whole thing. So you can't even talk about it. Anyway, it's just so weird. All right. Should we get into dig deep now?
Yes, we should. Actually, it's time. Go for it, Lindsay.
It's time.
I thought there was something you wanted to say to the audience first. No,
what do we want to say? Oh yeah, we're leaving Rumble. That's what we're doing.
Oh wait, you want? Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought we were just go. I didn't know it was time.
I forgot.
Yeah, you guys are having so much fun. You didn't even know what time it was.
All right, well, you guys, it is time for us to leave Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, and everywhere else we can possibly be that hasn't censored us, and head over to Rise.tv. where we're about to have our Dig Deep Q&A, where you can ask us your questions directly. Then we'll have the top 10 weirder news of the week that we always hear is your favorite part of the show. Tonight's segment has stories of hungry, hungry hippos, time travel, and so much more revolving around Christmas tales, etc. And you won't want to miss it. So come join us and subscribe to Rise.tv for the new holiday sale price of just $7 a month. When you get the yearly subscription, you can be part of our awesome Rise community and support our work. And we couldn't keep doing these shows without you. So thank you all for being here with us this holiday season. And watch this trailer and then come join us on Rise.tv. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. We love you all.
Are inflation, cow farts, pandemics, pizza with pineapple, and the rise of AI, the truth about the moon landing, gas prices, and hollow earth theories keeping you up at night? Not anymore. Let your cares melt away with our unique patented streaming platform, Rise.tv. For the special holiday price of $7 a month. In just minutes, you can get access to the platform that's changing a nation. No agendas. No censorship. No anger and targeting people. Amazing and inspiring shows like Edge of Wonder.
This episode may have some of the strangest information we found yet.
Man in America.
Geopolitics, history, but also faith and where we are at this time in history.
And Chronicles of a Psychic Spy.
We work outside the construct of the physical to know things that otherwise can't be known.
All just oozing with entertainment.
The Hot Pepper Chip Challenge.
We will give you a place to not only hear the truth, but also be uplifted and entertained.
Cheers.
And you'll have a community to share it with. Don't miss this special offer.
Oh, the powder goes down your throat.
For the holidays, our yearly subscription is more than 25% off. That's just $7 a month. What a steal!
Right. Silver Surfer said, stop with the math, lols.